This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Election College, episode number 305, Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Let's throw a political party. Face it, the political scene sucks, but did it always? It's time for Election College, and class is in session. Now, your hosts, Jason Goff and Ben Smith.
Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Good.
Greetings from Nashville.
Nashville. Is it Nashville or Nashville?
I don't know. Nashville.
Depends on who you ask, probably.
It's like I say Louisville the way I do. So Should I say Nashville? I don't know.
I've never heard anyone say Louisville, seriously.
Yeah. Some people say Louis.
Oh, true.
Louisville.
Yeah.
But, hey, speaking of French river cities... Been an interesting week on the road because we traveled from the Houston area over to Mississippi, backtracked a little bit, went to New Orleans, went to Jackson Square. I'd seen it before. I'd spent one day in New Orleans when I worked for the airline. My mom and I flew there for the day. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
And then...
did you do anything fun there when you were there before, or just, like, go to be there?
Basically, we took the city bus, which was an interesting experience. This was, like, in 98 or 99. I'm on the side of the road, so you might hear some traffic behind me.
Yeah.
But we got off at the French Quarter, went to Bourbon Street, and had the whole thing where the guy said, you know, I know where you got your shoes.
Yeah.
I was 19 years old. I didn't know any better, but thankfully he missed my shoes and I'm alive.
Yeah.
but it was really cool this time because here I am taking my big Ford F-350 into the little streets of New Orleans. That was fun. But the people were so friendly. We stayed away from Bourbon Street. We drove across it real fast, but... Went to this little hole-in-the-wall deli and got the best muffalata sandwich, and it was delicious, and got crawfish soup that was not gratuitous. I cannot say gratuitously spicy. It was spicy, but it wasn't, like, just spicy to be spicy.
Right.
Anyway, saw Jackson Square and took a picture, and I thought of you, Ben, so I texted you.
Yeah.
I probably should put these things on Instagram.
Well, yeah, that'd be good.
I don't know.
In the group or something.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, saw the statue of Andy Jack. And then it was like this whole Andy Jack theme because we were staying, it was not a half a mile from where we stayed in Mississippi, where Andy Jack's son, you know, adopted son. Had a plantation, and of course all of that has been flattened, you know, by several hurricanes, and really saw the resilience of people with Mississippi. It's amazing, the coastline, to see how they've rebuilt since Katrina.
Oh, it really is. Yeah.
And then here I'm in Nashville, where again, resilient people, because you never hear when Nashville floods. For some reason they don't get the national news, but there's been some significant flooding in Nashville. And of course we went to the Opryland Hotel, went to the Hermitage today and saw this vintage baseball game.
Yeah.
Kudos to my wife for finding that. And we went and had the most awesome time. They gave my 5-year-old a vintage baseball, and the game took place literally feet away from Andy Jack's tomb.
Wouldn't have been, it would have been a bad thing if they'd hit like a foul ball.
Yeah, I thought about that a little bit, but yeah.
I guess it was okay.
Yeah, his tomb had actually been vandalized last time we were in the area. No, I didn't go visit it at that time, but somebody had spray painted it up.
Oh.
Disgusting.
Yeah, that's a shame. Any historical monument that gets vandalized is disheartening to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was there, and I peeked over the fence, and it was kind of cool because if you had to go to the bathroom,
uh-huh.
they... And everybody washed their hands. We were good there.
That's good to know. I'm sure our listeners were curious.
Yeah, we actually snuck onto the grounds. We weren't trying to be sneaky, but there we were. We were on the grounds of the Hermitage, and it is beautiful.
How many people came to that vintage baseball game? Was it well attended?
Not really.
That's kind of what I was thinking it wouldn't have been.
But we are planning, they're going to be doing a tournament of sorts. It's like the third week of July in Gettysburg. So we'll be in central PA at that time.
Uh-huh.
And maybe we should do a election college meetup or something in central PA.
I don't see why not. We basically will be flooded. People won't be able to contain themselves.
Exactly.
They'll come after us. Paparazzi will be there. I'm sure of it.
Which, you know what? I just thought of this, Ben.
Uh-huh.
Eisenhower, Gettysburg.
I was just about to make that segue. Go ahead, do it.
You do it. Go ahead.
Eisenhower owned a place in Gettysburg. Not only did he own a place there, they lived there for a long time, quite a while, as a permanent residence. But we'll get into that either later this episode or two episodes from now. Who knows where exactly we'll get there. But before we talk about where they lived, we got to talk about where it all started, which also includes where they lived, but just at a different time period. So Dwight David Eisenhower, which, by the way, he was originally born as David Dwight Eisenhower, but after he was alive for a little while, his mom switched the names around because there was already another David in the family. Anyway, he was born in October of 1890 in Texas, which I did not realize he was born in Texas. But there were seven boys in that family all together, and he was the third one, so almost straight in the middle.
Yeah, and get this. So all the boys were nicknamed Ike. There was Big Ike, Little Ike, and it was intended to be like an abbreviation of their last name, and Dwight gets the distinction of being the one who carried the nickname.
It sticks with him.
Yeah. In 1892, the family picks up and moves to Abilene, Kansas, which is a hot, hot town in the middle of the summer. Just ask me. And Eisenhower always considers Abilene, Kansas, his hometown. He was involved in an accident that cost his younger brother an eye. And this experience he refers back to often throughout his life as being very impactful to him to be protective of those who are under him. He develops this interest in the outdoors and wanting to go out and explore. So he's learning how to hunt and fish and cook and play cards, which we've talked about the horrible things that can happen.
That's right.
When you play cards. And that's what he does in his upbringing.
Well, that, and also he reads. He reads a lot, and he reads a lot about military history. And Ike's mother was very much a pacifist. She was against war, but she has a ton of history books. And of course, you can't look back across any amount of history without finding at least one war. And so he really becomes a voracious reader and takes a strong interest in not only history, but also in military history. He was also pretty good at arithmetic and spelling, and those things really come back to help him out later on, too. His parents, during breakfast and dinner every day, had Bible readings. And of course, this is also going to influence Ike's life and his faith as he goes through. They were not necessarily a strict family, and he wasn't necessarily, you know, regimented per se, but they did have a lot of chores, and if they misbehaved, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There was no, we're not going to McDonald's. There was discipline. And most of the time that came from Dad, because he was the scary one, right? At least that's the way they did it in the day. So Mom eventually joins the Jehovah's Witnesses, which is quite a different dialect, or not dialect, that's the total wrong word, quite a different denomination or religion entirely, depending on what your perspective is, from where she had been previously, which was the Mennonites. So to go from the Mennonites to the Jehovah's Witnesses, quite the jump. And that kind of, I'd read, caused some ripples in the family, because, you know, you're trained up one way for a long time, and then a total shift comes from above, meaning mother, and things get a little interesting.
Yeah, most parents would be really excited when they find out that their kid has been accepted into West Point, but his mom is like, I'm not too happy about this. She feels that warfare is rather wicked, but she says, okay, go. And that's exactly what he does.
Yeah. He's a, you know, like I said, he's a really religious guy. He didn't really belong to any church, according to him, but he did get baptized in a Presbyterian church. So just a little bit. I mean, I think you'll notice throughout Ike's life, he does have a lot of things that are influenced by his religious affiliation and beliefs. And you can understand why his mom was a pacifist, especially being raised as a Mennonite. That's a pretty big distinction of the Mennonites. So Eisenhower goes to Abilene High School. And while he's a freshman there, he ends up getting an injury on his knee. It gets infected, and that spreads all the way up to his groin. And the doctor says that, you know, this is pretty life-threatening, and you probably need to get your leg amputated. Well, Ike says, no, I'll die if I have to, basically, rather than lose my leg. And then he recovers, miraculously, for that matter. And I'm sure after that point, he is glad he did not have his leg amputated. But he did have to go back and repeat his freshman year, missed a lot of school due to being sick. And after he graduates, wants to go to college, but he and his brother, neither one, just have the money. So they decide that I'll go 1 year, Ike says, and Edgar says, I'll go the other year, and we'll swap. While one of us will earn tuition while the other one's going to school, and then we'll swap.
Yeah, and Edgar takes a liking to school, and Dwight goes to work as the night supervisor at the Bell Springs Creamery. Edgar, after the first year, says, hey, I really would like to go back to school for a consecutive year. And Dwight says, okay, Edgar, you do that. And at that same time, a friend named Swede Hazlitt was applying to the Naval Academy and said, hey, Dwight, you should apply too, especially since there's no tuition required. Eisenhower said, you know what? I'm going to request from the senator, which you need to do, from Senator Bristow, to either attend West Point or the Naval Academy. And Dwight does win an entrance exam competition, but he was beyond the age limit for the Naval Academy. So that's when he goes to West Point in 1911. Now, we've heard about the issue that he had with his leg, and Ike, being an athletic guy, really thinks that sports is an important part of the college experience. He wasn't too excited about the hazing, though. I wouldn't be too excited either. And yeah.
Jason, when I was in like almost in first grade, before I went to first grade, I remember this pretty vividly, crying to my mother and her not understanding what I was upset about. And I told her I was upset because I just didn't want to get a swirly. And because she had told me when she was in high school, that was the thing, you know.
Yeah.
And I was very upset about going even to elementary because I didn't want to get a swirly.
Wow. You know, your parents probably don't listen to the podcast, so I can say this. Your dad talked about swirlies a lot when he was in high school.
And he probably gave a few.
He probably did, and it really scared me. Chris, there were things that your dad did that really scared me growing up. Like, he had the Z28, and I'd be in the back seat crying because the music was so loud.
Didn't you later drive that car, or was that a different car?
No. No, there was a car that my sister had that he drove.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then he gave it back, and you guys were in Florida, and my dad got a ticket because he didn't move it. It was getting, there was a street sweeper coming through, and my dad didn't pay attention to the notice. And so your dad, the car was still in your dad's name, and the police in Florida, like for this $5 ticket, arrived at your dad's door.
Wow. And so, I don't think that kind of thing happens anymore.
I don't know, but I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Was that have to do with Eisenhower?
Eisenhower didn't want to get swirlies either.
Yeah, or tickets, I would imagine.
Yeah. He was not particularly, I mean, he was a good student, but he liked to cut up and liked to get into some trouble. He's an average student, but really is, let's just say he coasted through, basically. He really wanted to join the baseball team. We mentioned he was interested in athletics and everything, but he didn't make the team. He did make the varsity football team and became a starter. And one of his like claims to fame was that he tackled Jim Thorpe, which, you know, the legend, of course, while he is playing in the next game after that, he tears his knee, probably like the ACL or something like that. And that's the last game he plays. He's just not able to go on any further. And then later on in his life, he's riding horseback and he hurts his knee again. And then he's boxing, which this guy is just all over the place. So he hurts his knee again there. So he goes and does some fencing and some gymnastics. And then he serves as a coach of the junior varsity football team. And kind of settles in better as a coach. Didn't tear his knee there.
And he was a cheerleader. Could you see Ike being a cheerleader?
I don't know. He just doesn't seem to have the demeanor for it. Very somber guy.
Yeah. Maybe you don't have to be rah, rah, rah when you're in the Army.
I suppose not. That's probably true.
You just kind of got it. But he graduates in the middle of his class. And the class of 1915 for West Point was known as the class that the stars fell on. 59 members of that class became general officers, which makes sense because you got World War II
right
going on. And or should I back up and say World War I, people are, you know, earning their just dues there, and then they're big time by the time World War II comes around. Okay, back to Ike in his career. He's stationed in Texas and he meets Mamie Dowd. She's from Iowa and he looks at her. She looks at him. Love at first sight. He proposes to her in 1916 on Valentine's Day. And in November, that's when they're set to marry. But no, the marriage gets moved up to July 1st because of World War I. And they stay in love the whole time. Beautiful.
And that's a good thing, for sure. So that's the year after graduation. And also the year after graduation, or that year he graduates, he requests an assignment in the Philippines, which they deny, which was good because he was able to meet his wife and get married and everything. But while they're in Texas and Georgia until 1918, he's serving at, you know, various infantry camps and things like that. They go out to Fort Sam Houston the following year, and he becomes a coach for football for St. Louis College, which now we probably know better as St. Mary's. And while he's there, he becomes an honorary member of some fraternities, and he goes on to be in charge of training for Fort Oglethorpe in Georgia. And that's about the time that they have their first son, who is named Dowd Dwight Icky, is his nickname, Eisenhower. He passes away from scarlet fever after he's only about 3 years old. And they have another son the year after. Icky passes away, who's John, who later goes on to become a U.S. ambassador and stuff like that. But that's years in the future. And speaking of years in the future, hopefully you won't have to wait years for our next episode, which you shouldn't, unless something terrible happens, where we'll talk more about World War One, and we'll talk about Ike's ascent up through the ranks and right into the presidency.
Yeah, so get ready, because we're going to be talking about Ike for a long time.
This is shaping up to be a lot.
It's like a 50-part series.
I wonder if there's a whole podcast somewhere just about Ike.
There probably is.
There probably could be.
And those people are really famous. We just haven't met them yet.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for continuing to, at least give us the illusion that someone out there is listening. We know there's a lot of you, and we appreciate it. It's a lot of fun for us to get together, talk about some history. And if you want to support us, head on over to iTunes and leave us a review. You can leave a review anywhere you listen, but if you leave one on iTunes, that's where it gives us the most impact, and we really appreciate that. You can also give us money by not giving us any money. By that, I mean, if you go over to electioncollege.com/Amazon, you'll go right to Amazon. You can buy anything just like you normally do for the same price you normally would. But Amazon, because you use our link, will give us a few cents off your purchase to help us pay for like hosting fees and stuff.
Yeah. And hey, I was serious. If you want to do an Election College meetup somewhere in Pennsylvania or somewhere that borders Pennsylvania, it's a lot of places.
It is. Yeah.
Both of us will be in the neighborhood.
That would be awesome. I think that'd be really cool.
Hit us up on Twitter or somewhere, or in the Facebook group.
Yeah, Facebook group. If you haven't gone there, electioncollege.com/group, or you can just search for the Facebook group on our page. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.